This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Friday, July 30th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always a joy to be with you coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On this last Friday of the month of the precious blood of Jesus, hard to believe that the month of July has flown by. Keep in mind that Friday is the traditional day dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is also the memorial of St. Peter Chrysologus, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. Now, yesterday was a big day for U.S. gymnastics at the Tokyo Olympics in the absence of four-time Olympic champion Simone Biles for mental health reasons. 18-year-old Suni Lee delivered an amazing performance for Team USA in the individual all-around gymnastics competition, narrowly beating Brazil's Rebeca Andrade for the gold medal. Suni Lee becomes the fifth straight American woman to claim the Olympic title. Today in basketball, the U.S. women beat Japan 86-69 to stay unbeaten in Tokyo. The U.S. leads the overall medal count with 41 medals and 14 of them gold. Now remember, and this is something I have said so many times over the years here on Relevant Radio, especially during the pledge drives. Remember that our Catholic faith is not a spectator sport. We must come down from the stands and get in the game. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Relevant Radio's Timmery Jaja, the host of Trending with Timmery. She'll join us to share some ways to grow in chastity before marriage. And a little later, Joe Boland, Vice President of Mission for Catholic Extension, will tell us about the church in the most remote areas of Alaska. We'll also have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more in this jam-packed hour here on Morning Air. We start every show and every hour giving thanks to our Blessed Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, especially in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always, every single day, invoke the Holy Spirit whenever we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Jeremiah 29:13. The Old Testament prophet says, "You shall seek me and shall find me when you shall seek me with all your heart." This verse has spoken to me big time over the years. I hope that it resonates with you as well. This is what true devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus that we always think about here on Fridays is all about. It's not about just going through the motions with our Catholic faith. It's about giving Jesus the Lord your entire heart. It's about seeking Christ with all your heart and making Jesus the Lord number one in your life. And then everything else falls into place. And we always finish up this segment praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now I want to talk about chastity. Chaste dating is no walk in the park, it's been said, but it is possible. Many young people have been in relationships in the past that were unchaste and ended very badly. Nowadays, some young people don't want to repeat that. They don't want to go through those same old habits from past relationships, they want to do things a little bit differently. Someone once said, if you want to be chaste before marriage, follow one rule. If you're on the couch with your significant other, don't let your feet leave the ground. Very funny. And now joining us on Morning Air is our very own Timmeri Jaja to talk about ways to grow in chastity before marriage. Timmeri is the host of Trending with Timmeri that you hear here on Relevant Radio at 6 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday on Relevant Radio. Timmeri is also a Catholic speaker, educating in areas of theology, and is an expert at responding to current trends of sexuality, feminism, and gender ideology. Good morning, Timmeri. Welcome back to Morning Air. So good to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. It's great to be here.
Well, Timmeri, can you first talk to us about this recent event that you were a part of in California, the Vox Vitae Catholic Pro-Life Teen Leadership Camp? What was that like? Tell us about that experience.
What an incredible group of young people. We're there with about 150 young Catholic pro-life leaders, equipping them spiritually and intellectually, really, John, to confront the culture on issues ranging from everything from abortion, the LGBTQ ideology and agenda, to knowing how to live a chaste lifestyle. I've been blessed to be able to be involved with the development of this program since its inception. And we focus every day. The kids don't just have, you know, education on, you know, a full day about abortion and what it is, how it impacts a woman, what pro-life arguments are, but they have confession, mass, adoration, the rosary every single day of the program. They're being trained to be holy voices in the culture. They're being trained with, you know, the spiritual graces necessary to live out their vocations of holiness wherever they will go, from, you know, being young teen and college leaders to whatever profession or vocation they choose. And it's incredible. You know, the program starts, we train the parents or any adults who are interested as well, who want to come for part of the evening programs, but during the day we're with the youth, and we, you know, start with like day one of Catholicism, pro-life apologetics. Day two focuses on the pro-life issue. The kids even learn how to debate, and I was so proud of them. I do this, you know, hour and a half kind of seminar with them where we split the group in half. One half, I say, okay, you're pro-abortion. The other half, you're pro-life. And they bring it with their most intense pro-abortion arguments that they hear, or they themselves can't answer. And then the other side responds. And it's incredible. You have, you know, 150 kids, and they're not yelling at each other. They're patiently waiting. They're, you know, engaging with their interlocutor. It is amazing. And from there, you have the day that their life matters. You know, Wednesday, we focus on everything from sexual integrity, chastity, theology of the body, helping them to understand STDs and so much more. The fourth day is helping them to understand their voice in the political sphere, their voice on issues such as legislation and euthanasia, being a voice in the midst of this gender ideology. And then finally, we have an activism day. We take them to the abortion clinic. We have them do an overpass project, learning how to be voices in a culture that doesn't necessarily want to hear what they have to say. It's incredibly powerful, and I'm so proud of them.
It sounds incredible. These kids, these young teenagers are the future of the pro-life movement, the future of our Catholic faith. It sounds like they're getting amazing formation that the average kid has no idea. I mean, just to be able to talk about and debate some of these common arguments that the pro-choice side has. I mean, that in itself, along with everything else that you mentioned, it sounds like a tremendous program.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, anyone who has their opportunity to send their kid, it's voxvitae.org, voxvitae, V-O-X-V-T-A-E, V-I-T-A-E.org. And we have every single day a bishop from our great nation here in the United States presented either virtually or in person to the kids, telling them how proud our bishops are of these kids and how important the fight for life is, but the call to holiness. And it's an incredible program. And to see these voices, John, I think this is kind of the big thing that stands out, that they wanted to be there, that they're engaging with difficult arguments from abortion to this radical really pro-LGBTQ agenda, they're engaging it and they know how to and they want to be voices for truth. And I think that gives me so much hope right now in terms of what we're seeing in the culture.
Yeah, the LGBTQ agenda is very problematic, and it seems like the vast majority of young people just kind of, you know, they're drinking the Kool-Aid. They just take what the culture is giving them, and they, they believe it.
Mm-hmm. And they're willing to push up against me. You know, I say, okay, well, here's this about, you know, the problem of gender ideology, the problem of living a gay lifestyle. And they're willing to disagree with me. They're willing to say, well, I hear this, prove me otherwise. And they want the science. They want the theology. They want the human anthropology. And they're willing to say, okay, once you get them there, but they're not just going to settle for weak arguments. And I think that that's something that should inspire all of us. We need to be able to engage with those claims and arguments that our opponents are making against us today.
Why do you think it's so important for these young people to talk about these topics?
Because the reality is a lot of the conversations being had are had online. And so when, you know, it's one thing to throw out a social media post or to kind of argue and disagree with someone on social media. It's another thing to have a conversation face to face with someone who is not going to have the same level of intensity or anger as they might on social media. And so what we're seeing is that they're able to engage in more effective and intellectual, and I would also say empathetic arguments that actually help move the ball forward in terms of seeing changes in mindsets or even possibly even hearing the other person. It's easy to kind of quickly read a social media post and move on, which is what these kids are doing. They don't care what the other person's saying. And so to teach them how to have a conversation and a good conversation, they're able to go to their friends who are struggling with everything from suicidality because of gender dysphoria to a friend who is in the path of looking at having an abortion. They are being taught how to have face-to-face and, of course, digital conversations from body language, being empathetic, spotting different signs and warning signs, how to approach the conversation. One of our speakers, John, and I think this is a tool for anyone listening, because the kids would ask over and over again, well, how do I approach my friend on this topic? Or I have a friend who's doing this. It's killing me inside. How do I talk to them? And Pam Stenzel, one of our speakers, incredible chastity speaker, if you've never heard her.
I've actually had the opportunity to meet her. She's amazing. Yes. She's an incredible speaker. In fact, she's actually she's one of the many pro-life leaders in my documentary film, The 40 Film.
Fantastic. So one of the things she told the teens that I thought was powerful during our women's session is, ladies, if you want to talk to someone and you know that they're in a bad place and you want to intervene, you need to first sit down. And you've got to say this, don't write in a text message, whether it's over the phone or ideally face to face, and say, do you believe that I love you? And she said, if that person that you're confronting then acknowledges that they believe that you love them, then you have the opportunity to move forward in trying to help them and intervene. But if they don't believe that you love them, they're not in a place where they're going to hear you, and you have some work to do to witness and model love to them. And I thought that was a really great example for all of us. And she said it's something that she's used with her children and with the girl she works with in the crisis pregnancy center. So a little something to put in our back pocket when we have these tough conversations.
Great insight by Pam Stenzel. If you recognize the voice, it's the familiar voice of Timuree Zsa-Zsa, the host of Trending with Timuree that you hear every day at 6 p.m. Central here on Relevant Radio, and we're talking about chastity, which precisely is one of the topics that was covered in this Vox Vitae Catholic Pro-Life Teen Leadership Camp last week. Talk about the importance of chastity, the formation that these kids were receiving, and how being chaste can really help couples understand what marriage is really all about.
Young people, I think every person who's looking toward marriage wants to have a lovely, picturesque, faithful marriage, a good marriage where the two people are faithful to one another, exclusive to one another. You know, this is what we want. I don't think there are many people who go into marriage intentionally thinking that's not what I want. Even if they have bad habits, that's still ideally what they desire. And so one thing I say over and over again, if you're not going to be chaste outside of marriage, you will never be chaste inside of marriage. And it's so important that we say this, because the reality is chastity isn't just about physical intimacy. Chastity is about faithfulness to our vocation, being faithful to ourselves, knowing ourselves, having self-control, honoring our body, mind, soul. And so I think that that's really the starting point for them to understand.
DeMaria, I'm smiling here to myself as I'm looking at the lineup of speakers, including yourself, at this conference. Tim Staples was one of the speakers from Catholic Answers, and it was Tim Staples years ago at a Catholic conference that he made that comment kind of off the cuff that, hey, if you want to be a chaste, you're with your significant other and you guys are on the couch, make sure you keep your feet on the ground. I thought it was hysterical. My wife loved that recommendation. This is before we got married.
Fantastic. You know, and it's true. It's funny. I remember in youth group when we were working with the teens, no making purple, leave room for the Holy Spirit, you know, all of these things that are said, but it is practical. Leave your feet on the ground. Don't stay out past 10 o'clock. And these are, I think, some really practical things. I remember when we were in college, we would have friends that would especially come to my husband saying, like, I'm really struggling with chastity with my girlfriend. Like, what do you guys do? What do I do? And my husband, then boyfriend, now husband, would say, well, don't hang out past 10 o'clock. And it was something so simple. Like, don't hang out alone together for hours at a time. I mean, be smart about what you're going to do. Don't be overly busy, but keep yourselves busy. Have a plan. They're very simple things that we need to keep in mind that we just don't seem to have common sense. And this also has to do with text messaging and phone calls. Late night phone calls and text messaging, this is where we start to enter into the realm of sexting and doing things we wish we weren't doing.
Timmery, has the teaching near occasion of sin just kind of gone out of style? Because you don't hear a whole lot about, you know, avoiding near occasions of sin. In fact, like you just mentioned, I mean, something as simple as a text message late at night could be the beginning to open Pandora's box.
Oh, this is a great question. It's funny because I think that we tend to talk more about safety rather than the near occasion of sin. You know, it's funny. Even yesterday we talked about safety in terms of dating. And one of the conversations we had was about drinking. And how I said, I really don't think you should be drinking when you're dating. I mean, unless you really know the person, you're far into the relationship, you're in a group setting, because the reality is our faculties are impacted. We don't have the same level of self-control. If you want to be chaste, well, why would you risk it? And I think that that's a great example, because that is a near occasion of sin. So we talk about things in terms of safety today, and we think about physical safety, but what about spiritual safety? If you want that nice, picturesque, faithful, joy-filled marriage down the road, why wouldn't you think about the near occasion of sin, how late I'm staying out, what I'm sending in terms of verbiage in photos via text message? And I keep coming back to text messaging because this is something I keep hearing from the girls. They're engaging in conversations that they have no self-control over for some reason. They're regretting what they're doing. They're leading these boys on, putting themselves in harmful situations. Boys are asking for things they should never be asking for. And I mean, sometimes it's as simple as, well, I was just texting him. Well, that's where this unchaste relationship started. And it was by not being safe or modest in terms of what you had to say, not just the way you dress.
DeMaria, time just flies by on this morning show. Before we run out of time, just a few practical pieces of advice for young couples, how they can grow in chastity before they actually get married.
Oh, this is a great question. If you want to be chaste before marriage, number one, pray for the virtue of chastity. Recognize it's a matter of not just self-control, but chastity is also a gift from God. So pray for it. Number two, watch out what time you're spending time with each other. You know, create your own curfew for each other, time of day. Don't text message so much that it's leading you to bored, idle time. Just like we shouldn't have idle time together in person, we shouldn't have idle time via text message that we're just saying things to say things, and then we say things we regret.
Absolutely. And of course, and none of us are perfect. We always have the sacrament of confession. If we make a mistake, if we perhaps cross over that line of chastity, you always know that our Lord is there to forgive us. All we have to do is come to him with a sincere heart and want to turn things around.
You are a new creation in our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul says that over and over again. You are a new creation. It doesn't matter what you have done, where you have been, whatever wounds you may carry in your body. You are a new creation in our Lord Jesus Christ, and change starts today, and confession equips you with the graces to move forward and battle whatever you've been facing.
Absolutely. And I think that we can also, as Catholics, invoke the saints. Quickly, is there any one saint that you think is a great saint to help us grow in chastity, purity, and self-control?
Oh, Saint Joseph, Terror of Demons, and Our Lady of Hope are incredibly powerful saints.
Oh, awesome. Especially in this year of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph is so powerful. And the Blessed Mother, of course, is the saint of all saints, the queen of all saints. So we have this beautiful opportunity to invoke the saints and ask for God's grace to be chaste in our lives. But it's not easy, but you got to keep fighting the good fight. Thank you, Timmery. It's great to be with you once again. And I want to encourage our listeners to listen to Timmery every day on her show, Trending with Timmery, 6 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. Thanks again, Timmery.
Thanks for having me. And tonight we have a high schooler in L.A. from Vox Vitae on the show. So if you want to hear, you'll get to hear what it's like to be a public school student on Trending.
Sounds great. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Joe Bolin, Vice President of Mission for Catholic Extension. He'll tell us about the Catholic Church in some most amazing remote areas of the largest state in our country, the state of Alaska. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
30 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air on another Friday dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the very last Friday here in the month of July. I'm John Morales. It's good to be with you once again on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, coast to coast. Coming up a little bit later, we'll have another Glenn Story Corner for you this morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. The state of Alaska is a land of enormous natural beauty. It's the largest and most sparsely populated state in America, four times the size of California in square mileage. Alaska's majestic landscapes feature glaciers, fjords, bays, tundra, and more than 33,000 miles of shoreline. It is also the home to two Catholic dioceses, the Archdiocese of Anchorage-Juneau and the Diocese of Fairbanks. For 115 years, Catholic Extension has been raising awareness and resources to support the Catholic Church's missionary efforts, which cover the most remote regions and villages of the state of Alaska. Now joining us live from Anchorage, Alaska, is Joe Bolin, the Vice President of Mission at Catholic Extension. He and his team collaborate closely with 86 mission dioceses that Catholic Extension supports. Good morning, Joe. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks for joining us from beautiful Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you very much, John. It's good to be here. It's a little early in Anchorage, but it's good to be connecting with you.
My goodness, it didn't even dawn on me. How early is it in Anchorage?
It's a lovely 4:30 a.m. in the morning, but that's the hour of the day when I get going. So this is a good time for me.
Great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out. Can you put into words, Joe, how breathtaking and majestic the state of Alaska is for those of us who have never had the opportunity to actually be there in person?
It is a beautiful state. It is obviously a place of incredible natural resources, a place of incredible beauty, where you really see the majesty of God's creation. I was looking out yesterday to see if I could see Denali, which is the largest mountain in North America, and I wasn't able to. It was a little cloudy day yesterday. Hopefully today will fare a little bit better, but this is an incredible place and really diverse, frankly, in its natural beauty. You know, when you talk about tundra and mountainous regions and all, And what a lot of people don't realize too, some very flat and swampy regions too, especially those closer to the water where we have our native fishing communities. So it's a diverse and large state, and there's two Catholic dioceses, as you mentioned, that cover this vast, vast territory, which is about four times the size of the state of California. And they do wonderful work, and it's been our privilege at Catholic Extension for so many years to support the church's outreach and efforts here in the state of Alaska.
Joe, Catholic Extension has done an amazing job over many years. Can you talk a little bit about the role and the support to the Catholic Church there in Alaska that Catholic Extension has done over the years?
Yeah. Well, first I'd say, you know, I just have tremendous admiration over the years that I've been working with Catholic Extension to be collaborating with the Catholic Church here in Alaska. I think it's a very dedicated community. It's not easy, as we'll talk about, necessarily to be Catholic here, to do the normal functions of church over such a vast territory. But there's about 40,000 Catholics here in the state today. The Catholic Church has about 100 missions and parishes spread across the state, and only about 50 priests to serve them. Catholic Extension, for its part, has raised and provided about $60 million in support over the years to the church here in Alaska, which really does rely on outside help. They're very generous people. They do everything that they can, but it's not necessarily a quote-unquote self-sustaining church yet. And so there is need for support to sustain a lot of the basic efforts of the Catholic Church here. Included in a lot of our support to the church here, we've helped provide 263 grants to support construction and building of churches to help withstand some of those harsh elements that we know exist up here, especially in the wintertime. And so that there's facilities, there's ministries, and there's leaders here. And Catholic Extension is supporting all of those efforts across the vast region.
Joe, I understand Catholic Extension has either built or renovated virtually every single church in the state of Alaska.
That's right. I mean, if you look back, you know, at the history, the missionary efforts here in the Catholic Church, a lot of it starts when the U.S. has actually purchased this territory from Russia. That happened under the Johnson administration, I believe. So we're talking 1867. And you began to see Catholic missionaries come in the decades, in the late 1800s after that. Soon after, there was a gold rush here around the turn of last century. And you saw a population boom. And really, what I think is special about the Catholic Church's efforts here in the state is, of course, whereas we think of history beginning with the purchase of Alaska from Russia, there, of course, were people living here in Alaska, our native Alaskan community. And the first Catholic missionaries were really dedicated to those communities, you know, those remote Yupik Eskimo communities and many of the diverse languages and native peoples that were already living up here. And just as the missionary effort of the Catholic Church began with the native Alaskan community, that's really been a lot of the focus of the work of Catholic Extension with our Catholic dioceses up here, is to continue to support that missionary outreach to many of the small villages of Native peoples that continue to hold fast to the Catholic faith. And those missionary efforts of 100, 150 years ago continue to bear fruit today. And so, yes, that has included building some of these churches, and we've basically helped provide support to every church in the state here of Alaska.
We're joined live from Anchorage, Alaska, by Joe Boland, Vice President of Mission for Catholic Extension. We're talking about the Catholic Church in the peripheries of Alaska. Joe, talk to us a little bit about the challenges of bringing the Catholic faith to these 40,000 Catholics in the state of Alaska. Such a large state with so many Catholics spread out all over the place.
It is. And, you know, you really have to look at, you know, two things. One is obviously great distance, which we've already referred to. The next is kind of, you know, what we think of infrastructure that facilitates ministry that we kind of often take for granted, those of us in the lower 48, really doesn't exist here in Alaska. And so there's a situation of great austerity for any of the priests and the sisters and the missionaries who minister up here. And so what I often tell people is that when you talk about the Church of Alaska, it in many ways resembles perhaps what the church might have looked like in apostolic times when, Christian leaders were going out, the first Christians were going out, and they were visiting far-flung communities by boats, and they were going to remote villages. In those days, it would have been in the Mediterranean. Well, that's kind of what the church in Alaska looks like today. Some priests have to get to remote villages. They can only get to their Catholic communities by boat. There are no roads.
Or plane, perhaps. I'm actually looking at a wonderful photo of an interview on your website at CatholicExtension.org. A seminarian standing in front of a plane with an unbelievable mountain range behind him.
That's exactly it. And so Catholic Extension actually funds the fuel that gets those flying priests out to their remote villages, because indeed many of these villages are only available or they're only accessible, I should say, through flight. And then once you get into some of these communities, the neighboring villages, they might have to take a boat or they might take an ATV. Or some of our priests, whereas in the days of old, you would see pictures of priests literally on the old dog sleds. Well, thankfully today, it's a little bit more modern. They can use a snowmobile to get themselves around to these clusters of villages. But, it kind of just gives you an image of the austerity of it, and the fact that, it's not like you're in the lower 48, and it does take quite an effort just to get to some of these places. I'm going to be meeting with a priest today here in Anchorage who serves out in the villages. And it is at least, it can take a couple of days just for him to get to the remote villages of Alaska on the Bering Sea into Anchorage. So just to kind of give you a sense, just 2 days just to get into Anchorage.
Wow.
It's quite
wow.
a journey. And so I'll be thankfully meeting with him today. But it's it's a tough road for them even to get to the see of their diocese. Just to celebrate a mass with their bishop or be with them. So those realities really persist.
How dangerous is it for these priests? Is there some danger involved? Risk obviously going to these remote areas.
I was talking to the priest that I'm going to meet with today. And, he said, well, I'm not going to be dressed like I'm normally dressed when I go out to the villages. He said, I won't have my my knife or my gun on me. And I think, part of that obviously is, encounters with wildlife, which they might have.
Bears, perhaps?
Yes, certainly. Things that could present a danger to them. Certainly you think about the perils of travel. I was talking to the Archbishop Emeritus of Anchorage, Alaska, several years ago, who did have his pilot's license, and some of the priests here actually have their pilot's license, but he only had the pilot's license where whatever it is, the first level where you have to be able to see everything. And so if there's cloud cover, he's got to immediately land. And I said to him, Archbishop, did you ever have any trouble, up in the skies when you were flying to the different villages of your archdiocese? And he said, well, there was just one time. He says, I was flying in the plane and, there was some cloud cover and some, storms coming in. And he said, basically, I just had to keep flying to find a hole in the clouds. And once I saw that hole, I went for it and I got underneath it. So. So yes, I think there are some perils that these missionaries face, and it's all part of life here in Alaska.
Incredible perspective that you're sharing with us, Joe. And we're joined by Joe Boland, Vice President of Mission for Catholic Extension. He's with us live from Anchorage, Alaska, talking about the Catholic Church in Alaska. If you have any questions or thoughts, if you've actually been to Alaska and have seen it with your own eyes and you want to chime in, have a comment for Joe Boland, Vice President of Mission at Catholic Extension, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. 914-9149. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Joe Boland live from Anchorage, Alaska. Stay with us. There's much more to come after this timeout.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
46 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Great to be with you once again as we continue our conversation with Joe Boland, Vice President of Mission for Catholic Extension. He's with us live from Anchorage, Alaska, and we're talking about the church in Alaska. Again, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Joe, can you talk a little bit about how difficult life is for the average Alaskan living in such extreme weather and living conditions? I think that so many people here in the lower 48 can't really understand just what the reality is on the ground there in Alaska.
Yeah. Well, certainly when I'm sitting in my office in Chicago and it's the winter time and I'm talking to our folks in, say, the Diocese of Fairbanks, I sometimes will, before that phone call, just kind of check the temperature to see what the situation is here. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about temperature, one of the basic needs oftentimes of the church, and actually one of the things that Catholic Extension helps fulfill, is sometimes they just need heating fuel to keep their parishes and their missions warm. Again, especially in those villages. When we talk about the Catholic Church in Alaska, and they always emphasize this, our diocesan partners, to anybody they talk to, yes, there's some churches, in the Fairbanks area and Anchorage area, and perhaps in some of the more frequented areas where you have tourists going. And those seem to be relatively healthy, you know, parishes, might resemble what parishes look like back in the lower 48. But really, when we talk about the church in Alaska, the vast majority of the reality and the places that they serve are kind of off the grid. The places that we as tourists can't often see and don't often see. And so, I think of even here in the Archdiocese of Anchorage, those flying priests that we talked about, when there's a pastoral issue, they have to get on a plane. And this happened recently. They might fly for 800 miles and still be within the same diocese, you know. So you can fly from Anchorage to what is about halfway down the Aleutian Island chain to Dutch Harbor, where they have a parish. Many people would know that show, The Deadliest Catch. This is one of those fishing villages where some of that is filmed. And there's a vibrant Catholic parish there. But their priests aren't necessarily living there. And so when they come in to provide sacraments or support, those priests have to get on a plane and it's about an 800-mile flight for them to do that. And so that just kind of boggles the mind to think about, whereas our model is maybe the priest getting up from the rectory and walking over to the church and opening it up. You have, priests here doing 800-mile stints, or even where there are roads. We support a group of priests. They shared with us a story of two Christmases ago where a priest got in his car on the snowy roads in the dark of that season when it was almost perpetually dark, drove 500 miles round trip just so he could say Christmas Mass for a remote community that happened to be on the roads. Or the priest that I'm meeting with today for Easter during COVID last year. He knew the churches would be shut down, but he literally walked in the snow of April in the remote villages, walked 22 miles so that he could at least deliver palms.
Wow.
Yeah.
These are conditions that, I mean, the average Catholic in this country, we might complain because we have to drive a half hour, 40 minutes into downtown if we want to go to a different church. Putting it in perspective, having to travel, you know, 500, 800 miles to get to Mass, truly heroic for these priests. Joe, you mentioned that there's only 50 priests to serve these 40,000 Catholics in Alaska. Is that correct?
About that, yes. Between the two dioceses, if you add it up, and you know, some of them are priests on loan. Some of them, thankfully, are seminarians that have studied and been ordained for these dioceses. We support seminarian education here. You know, there hasn't traditionally been a lot of seminarians, but thanks be to God, last year there was a young man ordained, Father Wallace, for the Archdiocese of Anchorage, Juneau, and so. There is hope for future priests, but yes, the harvest is great. The laborers are few, for sure.
Well, Paula is joining us from Chicago to talk about the situation in Alaska. Paula, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Joe Boland, with the president of Mission for Catholic Extension.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. Recently in the news, we've heard about the horrible things that happened to Indigenous children at the hands of schools, many religious schools, in the past, you know, 100 years. What do you do as a church, as an institution, to honor the Native people's traditions, cultures, and beliefs?
Yeah. So Native peoples have, over the years, really been treated difficultly, you know, and it has just been such a horrible time for them over the years to just, let me just gather my thoughts on this. The Catholic Church has been a champion of Native peoples in recent years. And they have just absolutely lived through some horrors, as you have pointed out. One has been abuse, which is something that the Catholic Church has dealt with very aggressively here in Alaska, and really tried to do its best effort over, especially over the past decade, to help promote healing. This issue of Native schools, which really is something that we see throughout Canada and the United States as well, is a phenomenon that existed for many, many years in which schools were set up through the government or through Catholic churches, any churches, in which kind of the goal was to help Americanize, if you will, some of the Native populations. The Catholic Church is so far removed from that right now. So much of the ministry of what the Catholic Church does is to really emphasize, support, and nurture and affirm the culture of our Native peoples. And I think that's the beautiful understanding and turn that the Catholic Church has had in recent years. The missionary that I'm going to meet with later today, he often talks about that he as a missionary knows that he cannot do anything unless he starts with the God that he encounters that is already present in the people and in their culture. And where does he find God present in them? Well, they have a deep sense of the Spirit already at work in their life. And the beautiful push, and this is what Catholic Extension supports right now here in the state of Alaska, is to help nurture future Catholic leadership among our Native peoples. You know, and thankfully, and this is a sign of hope for the future, you're seeing many Native Alaskan deacons now expressing their leadership, especially in the remote villages. You're seeing many catechists now come about, which has been so important to have those catechists and those deacons this past year, especially during COVID when priests and our missionaries were not able to go into these remote villages. The Catholic faith community was really able to sustain itself thanks to some of those efforts of the Native community, really taking ownership of the church and letting the faith be incarnated into their own culture, into their own way of life, which is exactly what needs to happen, is that faith needs to be born into each of our cultures so that it can transform us and the gospel can transform our hearts. So while, yes, there has been a very painful past, we know, of many different entities, but sadly the Catholic Church has been a part of, thankfully there's been a corner turned, and there's really been some heroic efforts, and gratefully Catholic Extension has been a part of it, to help nurture the future of the Church and to help affirm our Native Alaskan people.
Thanks so much.
I hope that responds.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the call. Joe, we're running out of time. About a minute left. Just a quick thought on some of the lessons that we as Catholics can learn here in the lower 48 from our brothers and sisters in the church in Alaska.
Just real quickly, I would say, you know, in communities that don't have the benefit of the Eucharist every Sunday, you know, they just absolutely appreciate and value the gift of Eucharist, especially when they might only see a priest once a month. Or maybe once every, 3 months. And so that's, to me, a lesson that I always take away from the Alaskan church is, their love of the Eucharist. I also take away the lesson that they are adaptable people. Remember, in many of the villages where the Catholic Church is providing support, they're living a subsistence lifestyle. And, life is very simple out there. And the Catholic Church and many of our Catholic leaders even adapt to that lifestyle when they're living in those areas. So this is a highly adaptable community, a community that loves the Eucharist. And as I just said before, one in which the local people are really taking ownership of the church and really helping plot a pathway for the future of the Catholic Church.
For much more on the great work that Catholic Extension is doing in Alaska and around our country, CatholicExtension.org. Joe, thanks so much for being with us live from Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Boland, the Vice President of Mission at Catholic Extension. And now it's time for another Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A First Class Move by Kelsey Zwick in Love What Matters. To the man in 2D, today you were traveling from Orlando to Philly. I don't know you, but I imagine you saw us somewhere. I was pushing a stroller, had a diaper bag on my arm, and also was lugging an oxygen machine for my daughter. We had smiles on our faces as we were headed to see her friends at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. We pre-boarded the plane, got cozy in our window seat, and made jokes to those around us about having to sit by my yelling but happy baby. The flight attendants came over and told me you were waiting to switch seats. You were giving up your comfortable first-class seat to us. Not able to hold back tears, I cried my way up the aisle while my daughter Lucy laughed. She felt it in her bones too. Real, pure goodness. I smiled and thanked you as we switched, but I didn't get to thank you properly. So, thank you. Not just for the seat itself, but for noticing. For seeing us and realizing maybe things are not always easy. For deciding you wanted to show a random act of kindness to us. It reminded me how much good there is in this world. I can't wait to tell Lucy someday. In the meantime, we'll pay it forward. American Airlines 588 passenger in seat 2D, we truly feel inspired by your generosity. Philippians 2:3 reminds us, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves.
Thanks so much, Glenn, for yet another inspiring story. And of course, you can download every episode of Glenn Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea, send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Don't forget to join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For producers Gabby Burke and Mariano Gomez, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us. I'm taking a little time off to go on vacation with my family, the Family Beagle. We're heading for Florida. Glenn Leverance will be taking over the controls of the show, hosting Morning Air. He'll do a great job for the next couple of weeks. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you next time on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.